high number of vacancies in the portfolio in the department. Fortunately, Chair, yesterday we held interviews for 3 DDGs. We are on track for meeting our target as we have committed to this portfolio and Parliament of second term appointments. I have written to all boards requesting them to place adverts for the vacancies that they have, and I have given them the deadline of the 31st of July to start the process of advertisement. By end of August, we'll do a follow-up check to check the progress of thereof. So in terms of vacancies between the department and entities, we are dealing with it, and we are, especially at the level of EXCO, we want to make sure that we have a full EXCO that is permanently employed, and we have done the 3 interviews of vacancies. We've done them yesterday, and we are in the process of appointing. But I need to highlight, Chair, that part of the problem in the department, what raises the high vacancy rate, is because we have a staff, we have vacancies or a structure that has been approved, but we don't have funding for it. So what we are doing currently, we are in the process of looking at which are the posts we'll have to abolish because we don't have money, and taking into cognizance of the financial situation in the country and the fiscal constraints, we are looking at doing, as I said during my budget, doing more with less. Part of that is to look at the structure where we don't have people filled and those posts we can do away with. We are starting to abolish that. And Chair, we will report to the committee by the third term of this year around that process. So we should be done by the third term of this financial year. So that's around the staff complement. And you would note, Chair, the reason why we are saying that is because when you look at Program 1, for example, it's got 35 million overspending. And this is precisely because of the vacancies, but as well as the people who we have, we've not been able to give in enough money. For example, in terms of the staff, we've not given, in terms of program of compensation, we've not been given enough any additional adjustments to the current budget. So we're having to look at other areas to reprioritize. The other area that has cost the 35 million overspending is leases. I think the CFO will go into detail on some of these things. It's lease, compensation, and IT license. Because the software license that we have, we had to renew, and therefore it costed at that amount. But the CFO will go into detail so that the portfolio committee can have details on that, Chair. I must upfront, Chair, confirm to the committee that we have suspended the CFO of the department. That's why we have an acting CFO. I'm not in liberty, but I can to discuss the details, but I can say that this is in line with the Public Service Act. The disciplinary process has started, and we are hoping that it will be concluded very soon. We are not saying that from the department or myself that the CFO is guilty, but we are saying there are certain matters that the CFO must respond to. And once we are done, Chair, we will explain to the portfolio committee on those matters in detail. I can confirm again, Chair, that DDG Apani as well has been suspended. DDG Apani was given letter to explain certain matters of concern by the acting DG, and given 3 days, unfortunately, he didn't respond to why he shouldn't be suspended and immediately moved to the suspension. We are in the process of establishing a DC as required by Public Service Act. It's still within the 60 days that we have. We will be done shortly with it as well, establishment. We believe in appointing independent people so that they can be objective, so that in the process they can be able to highlight to us if we are wrong. But we think within the PFMA and the laws, there are certain things that we have to make sure that are clarified. Chair, moving into the issues, I know the committee, though, might not reflect in these areas. It's something that the committee might be interested in. In the IEP and IRP process, we are well on track, Chair. I continuously receive monthly reports on this program to see, because I'm monitoring, especially because this is one of the areas as the department we have committed to finalizing policy to create policy certainty for investment. So I'm receiving monthly reports, and I think we, from the reports I'm receiving, we are well on track in terms of our commitment, and we think it's not going to be by end of March, by but we target him because with the Minister of Finance, he has asked us to move it a month before to February 2018. We're having regular meetings at IMC level as well. Tonight we have that, where I will be reporting as well progress. So there is monitoring from government side in terms of the work that we do on IEP and IRP for a confirmation process. Chair, the other issue that I think members of the committee might be interested on that I need to report progress on is the signing of the power purchase agreements in terms of the IPPs that are there. I think as well, Chair, we are in progress. We are almost concluding. We have committed by the end of this month that we'll issue a decision. We have been sitting together with the teams between ourselves, ESCOM, DPE, and I must report, Chair, that there's positive progress that is there. And by the end of this month, we should be able to give the date of finally concluding on bid window 3.5 and 4, which has been committed and waiting for signing. And because this we are doing, we have an obligation as the department to protect our sector, to ensure that it grows. And because we have committed to energy mix, Chair, both understanding that the renewables are important and have a key role to play in our energy mix. That's why from our side as the department, we remain committed to proceeding. I must flag, Chair, one of the issues that we'll have to pass in terms of the hurdle is an interdict that we have before us that we have to also pass there. The coal industry has indicted us, requesting me as the Minister of Energy not to sign. I think it's myself, it's ESCOM, I can't remember who is there, three, but NERSA as well. So we're trying to deal with that as well, Chair, so that we can conclude the matter. It's a bit of a difficult situation, and I hope you can appreciate the difficulty that we find. I continue to say I have a duty as a minister to represent everybody in my sector. And therefore listen to everyone. Where there is reasonable expectation for me to apply my mind, I will do so. But at times, Chair, the lobbying in the sector makes it difficult to have the sector growing. I think that's one of the concerns I have, which is a bit of a difficult. You find this one who are anti this type of form of energy lobbying against this one. And at times, wish you can just scream at everybody and say, for heaven's sake, can we all just put our interest aside and do it for the best interest of this country? And I hope one day we'll be sober enough as South Africans to think about South Africa and not our own interest. Chair, the other issue that I need to highlight is transactional advisor, a matter that has been quite interesting. I have received quite a number of issues, questions from various, either it's MPs or it's media, and together with the IT system, this relates to the nuclear new build program. And there's been some misunderstanding that we have received an opinion from Auditor General that these are irregular. Chair, I must report up front here, our audit is not yet concluded. Once it's concluded, we will be able to report. So we do not have currently anything that relates to what has been reported. I thought this is important for me upfront to reflect on these things so that we are very clear in where we are sitting, Chair, in terms of our work. Once the portfolio committee would know, we'll come before it if indeed our audit opinion is otherwise, we will have to account what happened. And at that time, Chair, we'll have to appear here and explain ourselves. But where we are sitting right now, we do not have such indication. We do not have such an opinion. So, Chair, that's in a nutshell just to flag the issues. The team is here to take you through the presentation, Chair. I thought as an executive authority, let me just highlight some of the issues that we are. You'll see our summary of our performance, Chair. We are working around the clock with the EXCO, meeting regularly, trying to improve how things are done so that we can improve our performance, Chair. And we're hoping as we go forward, you'll definitely see that with the results of our performance and as we improve our agreements as well, what was it, the performance plans making them smarter, achievable, and tangible, so that as well we make your life easy. Thank you very much, Chair. That's it from my side. I'll hand over to through you. I can hand over to the team so that they can take you through the detailed presentation.
Thanks very much, Minister. Thanks for that update. I must say that with the things that you have now said, this meeting will not finish early. let's start with the fourth quarter report first. We can come back to these matters. I know that they're quite important. There's just one thing, Minister, it's not so much a question of a substantive question. It's just clarity with regard to the thing you referred to about the Auditor General. So the transaction you're talking about, does it refer to the transactional advisors, or is it, because there were two things that we have been dealing with. There was the issue of the transactional advisors, and there was the issue of the software, or the thing that was called the management system. So is it just the portion of the transactional advisors that we're talking about? So that's what I just want to clarify.
The issue is I've been receiving a lot of questions, and there seem to be confusion about both the IT system and together with transactional advisors, whereby sometimes people think that we have already received an audit opinion that says they are irregular. And what I'm trying to clarify, Chair, so that it's clear, because sometimes you receive these letters from various MPs upfront here to say we do not have an audit opinion on these two activities in the department.
Who's going to lead us?
I need to upfront apologize. We are expected to be in Mozambique as well for a BNC. So I've got a team that has advanced to the BNC. It's what is it called? Bi-national commission between the two countries led by the two presidents. So NH is one of the key role players in that. So there's a technical meeting. Mr. Makubela is not here today with us. He's leading that delegation on my behalf, because I'm expected to be in three places today alone. So acting DG for today is DG Mbambo. He will be working together with Mr. Mbele and the acting CFO at the back.
Okay. If we could, we would suggest that you rush to Mozambique. Mr. Mbambo, I shouldn't say Mr. Mlambo again. Mr. Mbambo. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee, and thank you, Minister and the DM, and the colleagues of the department. All protocol observed. We have structured the presentation in the following manner, and we will be requesting that the Acting DDG Mbele take us through the presentation in the area of the non-financials in terms of the performance. And we will also request that the Acting CFO, Ms. Kamagwini, also take us through the financial part of the report. With your permission, Chairperson, may I request DDG Mbele to then take us through the non-financial performance information.
Litembele Kwaiti. Who's the acting CFO?
It's Ms. Tamagwini Mchinga.
Ms.
Tamagwini Mchinga.
Mchinga.
Yes.
Where is Ms. Mchinga?
Ms. Mchinga?
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Bele. So I wanted to make sure that I know who's going to speak. Please, you have the. You can take your mic.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, Minister, Deputy Minister. I will take you through the presentation. It's quite a long presentation, but what I'll do is also try and report by exception rather than try and read through everything, as it's mostly tables. In terms of the highlights for the first quarter, as indicated there, we basically, as the department, we managed as part of the REIPP program to achieve a production of 5,000 gigawatt hours of electricity. We completed 11,000 non-grid connections. About 85% of petroleum license applications were approved, and they had 50% HDSA ownership. As part of the draft IEP, we had developed the electricity price path. Enforcement notices issued in 90% of the cases where non-compliance is identified during routine compliance were issued, actually, notices. And in line with the Cabinet Directive of 2000, the department achieved the set target for public consultations or imbizos. Going into the detailed program reporting, the first column indicate the annual target, and the second column indicate the fourth quarter target. The first program that we're looking at is the financial management services for the quarter. In terms of approval of invoices within 30 days, we have achieved a target for the quarter. The issue of vacancy rate has already been highlighted by the minister. We are struggling in this regard, and it's a number of issues that leads to this, and some of them is because obviously you lose people along the line, and it contributes to the non-achievement of the target. In terms of the quarterly progress report for the HR plan, this was produced and therefore achieved. Corporate services, the target is to have 2% of people with disabilities employed in the department. This was partially achieved, and again, I think during the quarter we actually had a resignation that contributed to this number. The other one is the 50% of women in senior management positions. And again, we're not doing very well in this regard. We're sitting at 36% as reported in quarter four. In terms of our foreign engagement or participation, we have an annual target to have 10 participation focused on the African continent or African agenda. We achieved the quarterly target, which indicated that we had planned to have four participation. Similarly, on the rest of the other participations, we had six which we have achieved. I've already highlighted that we've also, as a department, managed to achieve our target for engagements with the communities in the form of imbizos. In terms of policy and planning, the targets that we had for quarter four, we had plan to publish the annual energy 2014 annual energy balance. It's 2014 because there's generally a lag because you have to collect data. This was partially achieved, and the reason is because by the end of quarter four, we had a draft, not necessarily published the report. In terms of the enhancement of the central energy management system in energy planning, this was also was partially achieved as the system was not completed in full by the end of the financial year. With regard to studies to determine the macroeconomic impact of liquid fuel imports, the report for the studies to determine the benchmark for fuel cost production technology and jobs impact was not completed, and this was as a result of resource constraints, specifically financial resource constraints, because this is specialized studies that require that we engage external consultants. In terms of the gas amendment bill, the target was partially achieved in quarter four, and the main reason being that the process of submission to cabinet was still being finalized, but the draft is actually completed. The submission of the revised draft biofuels regulatory framework, this was achieved as indicated. The Draft Amendment Act, the Petroleum Bills Draft Amendment Act was partially approved, and the reason for that is that we expected to conduct a socio-economic impact assessment, and we cannot process this any further without this, and this is done in consultation with DPME, and we only receive feedback from them 31st March 2017, which was after the deadline, and that equally applies to the last point there, which was the submission of the concept document for review in terms of the Petroleum Pipelines Act of 2003. In terms of the approval of regulations emanating from the National Energy Regulator Act, this was partially achieved, and the reason being that there was a delay with regard to the finalization of the Act, because it went to Cabinet and there were recommendations that the Department is still addressing, and this will be going back to Cabinet in this current financial year. Development of norms and standards, this has not been achieved, and it's because there is a delay in completing the interdepartmental or intergovernmental consultations between the Department, NESA, and the local government, as this will have an impact on local government. I've already spoken about the electricity price part, which is part of the draft IEP report that went to Cabinet in October last year. IRP, the Minister's already touched on this. The target for quarter four was to take the IRP to Cabinet for consideration. We'll note that if you look at the targets for 2014, there was a slight change. We actually took the IRP to Cabinet earlier, where we asked to go and consult on assumptions. So that, obviously, having gone on public consultation, we had to come back and reconsider the inputs from the public in terms of the consultations. Hence, the target is actually partially achieved. Conclude contracts for coal, cogeneration, and gas IPPs. The specific target was to conclude contracts for coal, cogeneration, and gas. This is partially achieved because the work has been done, and this talks to, obviously, some of the PPAs being signed by ESCOM. The last one, members of the committee and chair, is actually it's meant to be conclude the offtake agreement for Inga. This has not been delayed and has not been achieved, and the reason for the delays is because there can be an offtake agreement when the other side has not concluded. There is no what we call a counterpart in terms of the project developer. So there's been delays, but there is progress on the DRC side in terms of appointing the developer. In terms of Program 3, which is petroleum product regulation, fourth quarter, I think this is one area that we've done very well, and I think for two reasons, because the work has been done, but I think this is one area as well where our targets are generally smart. Yeah, they are measurable and they are not ambiguous. So it's very easy to be able to relate the work that's been done to the target. As you can see there, all the targets have been achieved, and the targets for quarter four was we had aimed to do 1,500 retail compliance inspections, conduct about 2,000, just under 2,000 fuel samples, ensure that 50% of license applications approved have a 50% BE ownership, publication of the fuel prices margin adjustment using the RAS model, and three audit reports on fuel prices. All these have actually been achieved. Program four, which is programs and projects, which is mainly around electrification. Again, here the targets have mostly been achieved. The main target is that we're going to produce a report on the allocation of funding to municipalities and ESCOM for grid electrification towards 95,000 connections. This was done and 95 connections were actually achieved. The target for quarter four was to develop the National Integrated Electrification Plan. This was partially achieved. We had done basically a draft NIP, which is basically it was a desktop exercise. It was not a detailed plan that involved obviously going into the ground. Hence, there was a draft that was produced, and we have actually progress for this quarter is reported as partially achieved. Then for quarter four as well, we had a target to monitor the funding and progress on non-grid. We had a target of 6,500 connections, and this target was achieved during the fourth quarter. Again, we produce we monitor progress in relation to upgrading of electrification infrastructure, and the targets in relation to that were achieved. The target around the integrated energy centers as well. We monitor our integrated energy centers that we develop in the rural areas, and there is a report that is produced in the department, and these were actually achieved. Again, without going into the details, these are the various internal reports that we produce to make sure that our programs and projects are on track, and all the reports were actually produced. What we've done is, maybe I'll just focus on the partially achieved. One of the things that we had identified was we needed to improve our program management. We needed an electronic document management system. The concept was put together, or the system development and deployment phase of phase one was put together, but due to financial resource constraints or limited resources, this is one of those activities which were actually not funded, and it was partially achieved because the development concept was done, but there were actually no funds to take it further. We also developed a what we call the Integrated Energy Center Strategy, and we had aimed to have this approved during the fourth quarter. The Integrated Energy Strategy is basically the strategy that will guide the department in terms of how do we make sure that our integrated energy centers in rural areas are sustainable, because some of them have been experiencing challenges, especially around the cooperatives and the governance models. So there is a draft, and it is in the process of finalization in this current financial year. We also develop policies around gender, disability, and these have been achieved as indicated there. And then there is one that is partially achieved is we also developing a strategy in terms of how do we improve on gender, disability, and youth involvement in the energy sector. There is the strategy has been developed, and consultation was ongoing during fourth quarter. In terms of Program 5 Nuclear, Chair, the target for fourth quarter, for the first one, which is linked around the annual target in terms of consultation with impacted stakeholders on draft National Nuclear Disaster Management Plan. The fourth quarter target was that consultation with stakeholders would have been completed. This was partially achieved as consultation was not completed with all those that are involved. The other target that we had in the last financial year was the procurement of the nuclear bill program, as indicated there. The fourth quarter target was the closeout report based on negotiations with strategic partner and commencing second tier procurement for LITEMP. This was not achieved as the program, remember, I think it was during the beginning of the end of the third quarter, was transferred to ESCOM. In terms of the progress reports on the implementation of the program plan, there was a report that was supposed to have been produced for fourth quarter. Again, the changes in the procurement process impacted on the target, as the target was now sitting with ESCOM. I would not necessarily go through the details, but in terms of these targets reflected here are all linked to the nuclear procurement process, and all of them for fourth quarter were not achieved as they were linked to the process having been to transferred to ESCOM. I think that's the case there. The last one is the 75% of authorization applications processed within 8 weeks, 75% there, this target was achieved. This again are some of the other targets under the nuclear branch which have been achieved. 5 nuclear safeguard compliance reports, 1 nuclear safeguard compliance audit report, and 1 nuclear security compliance report. One nuclear security compliance report, as indicated earlier, I think this is a duplication, apologies. The target that is not achieved here is the revision of the National Nuclear Regulator Act Amendment Bill. This was supposed to have been taken to stakeholders for comment and consideration, and the reason it had not happened was that the draft bill had not been completed. The other targets that are indicated as achieved there includes the one around the workshops with impacted stakeholders around National Radioactive Waste Management Fund Bill, and it's the same target there. In terms of Program 6, which is clean energy, 0.5. The target for quarter four was 0.5 terawatt hours of energy saving realized and verified. This target is not achieved, and the reason or the difficulty with this target is that you need a baseline, and then you need to go and measure to be able to say whether you achieve the 0.5 or not, and it is expected that the target will be achieved within this current financial year. The remaining targets entail... for fourth quarter was that we're going to add 15 additional municipalities for which energy consumption would have been baseline consumption to be able to measure energy efficiency would have been developed. That was achieved. We're going to report on the post-national 2015 National Energy Efficiency Strategy. That report was done. As already indicated under the highlights, also report on the megawatt hours achieved in line with the integrated resource plan. The other four target around biogas was to incorporate stakeholder comments and finalize the biogas and biomass strategy implementation. This was not achieved, and again, this had to do with internal resource constraint. Solar water heating program partially achieved, and basically partially achieved because the department had procured in line with the local content requirements solar water geysers. In terms of implementation, which is lacking, the department has signed a number of agreements with a number of municipalities to be able to have actually signed by the fourth quarter. With about 3 municipalities. I know the number is higher now since the fourth quarter. The development and implementation plan for energy and climate change strategy in public buildings. This target was not achieved, but it has since been incorporated into the smart grid and energy demand side management program. The last target in relation to Program 6 is the awareness-raising campaigns in preparation for the carbon offset implementation. This target is partially achieved. Consultation process was incomplete by the end of the fourth quarter, and the carbon tax policy had not been finalized, hence the process could not be taken any further. Members and Chair, in terms of the summary, this table summarizes in numbers the targets achieved within the respective branches. And I think for now I will leave it here. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Mbele. Acting CFO, firstly, welcome. So you can take us through the financial performance.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members and the Minister and the Deputy Minister. The department was appropriated a budget of $7.550 billion for the year 2016-17, and it spent $7.512 billion, being 99.5% of the appropriation. We reported an underspending of $37.7 million. That underspending was mainly because of earmarked funding. The performance per program. Program one, administration, we had we overspent by $35.7 million. Program two, we spent in line with the budget. Program three, we spent in line with the budget as well. In program one, the reason why we spent above the budget was mainly because of compensation of employees, and also in goods and services because of lease and property payments due to relocation of to other offices. Previously, we were hosted by DMR, so when we moved to our own offices, and also the reduction in the baseline by National Treasury over the MTF, which could not accommodate our commitments, as well as the license fees for VPN and the rand and dollar exchange that also contributed. We had also under transfer payment, under the overspending on transfer payments because of membership fees that we had to pay that could not be paid in the 15-16 financial year.
Acting CFO, sorry. I just want to bid farewell to the Deputy Minister. Thanks, Deputy Minister. Yeah. We'll see you next time. So I think CFO will continue. You are released.
Program four, electrification and energy program. It underspent by $34 million. The underspending was mainly in a vacancy in COE of $1.91 million, and the earmark funding that I had mentioned for non-grid electrification. The reason for that, we could not pay the invoices at the end of the financial year, is because that the department had to go and do physical verification of solar water, solar home systems that were installed. Program 5, we had an underspending of $7.38 million, being 0.84% of the budget. The reason was that we had invoices of NNBP that we had to do verification of the deliverables before we could pay. Program 6, the clean energy, Program 6 as well underspend, which is part of the earmark funding that could not be done environment amongst the program where there was overspending, and that was 5.5% of its budget. The reason for that, it was for solar water heater programs as a result of delays in concluding collaboration agreements with municipalities that are the key role players in installation of solar water heater programs. In terms of transfer payments, the department performed almost 100%. Households, we had an underspending of 1.565 there because of a pension contribution that was supposed to be made for an official, which could not be done by year-end. We had overspending on international membership fees, which I had already mentioned in Program 1 amongst. It's also included in the 3.62 million. And then underspending in non-grid in Program 4 due to solar home systems that we had to do a verification of. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Mr. Mbambo, anything?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the members that have made the presentation. We will then, with your permission, Chairperson, take the questions, and we have a team that is going to respond to the questions.
Members, it is now time for questions. Honorable, take the hands of surface. Honorable Matlala, Honorable Makai, Honorable Faku, Honorable Gada. Honorable Dlamini, good morning.
You are here.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Matlala.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine relates to the issue of vacancy, even though the minister has clarified, but I just want some clarity related to the issue of vacancy. She has clarified, I'm satisfied. I just want to check with the minister and the department that these people who are resigning from the department, these people resigning because of greener pastures out of the department, or are these people being pushed out of the department? Because I raised this issue, Chair, some 2 years ago, that if there is people not satisfied with the manner in which the department is doing its work, is there any realizable or achievable program to retain this personnel, not to leave the department because of greener pastures? Some of the reason is that, Chair, we have spent a lot of money for this personnel to undertake some serious workshop with regard to them to implement the programs of the department. But the 2 or 3 months they're on the line, they resign from the department. I don't know what are the reasons behind this issue of people resigning or leaving the department. The other one, Chair, relates to the consultation processes that I doubt as to whether maybe we are doing these consultation processes during holidays, December holidays, Christmas time. Because where I come from, in an area called Tsingi Tsingi, in Limpopo, I haven't met you guys with regard to our consultation process in the rural area. Tsingi Tsingi is the name of a village in the province, Limpopo. I want to clarify with regard, because I doubt as to whether you are there during the week or you do these consultation processes during holidays. Because a number of people are going to holidays, leave Limpopo to Durban, KwaZulu-Natal for holiday. So you might be doing this thing during holidays. I want some clarity with regard to that. The issue, Chair, relates to the same issue that I've raised, and with the issue the Minister has clarified, the vacancy issue. When are we going to say we are happy with the issue of not people acting? You know why people are acting? You can't hold them responsible that they are acting. They act, they are not sure as to whether you are going to absorb them after they are, after this acting thing. They are not sure. They do work 30% because they are not sure as to whether you might retain them. You can't hold them responsible. When are we going to say we are happy that we finalized the issue of 18 personnel? Yeah, these are some of the key issues that I want to raise, but let me leave some for the next round of questions. Thank you very much.
Just before you, Honorable Makai, Minister, when you first addressed us here, I know that we spoke about restructuring when we deal with the issues relating to vacancies, personnel, and so on. The most strategic question is about who do we have, who were we retaining, or who are the people who are leaving? Because if you look at our performance here, is the critical areas that make the Department of Energy where we're not making progress. So the technical skills. So this thing about restructuring, so because the other things we know we achieve, any other department can do, is the things that make this department, the Department of Energy, that I think when we respond to Honorable Matlala that we're going to have to address maybe as part of the restructuring you spoke about. Honorable Makai.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, you obviously have missed the committee very much. There's a lot of communication coming from the chairman today, lots of opinions. Welcome back, Chair. Chair, I never thought I would ever say it, but I must say
really... Honorable Makai, what are you doing?
It's a warm welcome back, Chairman. It's just, well, we welcome you. It's nice to see you after 2 months. It's very good to have you back. Chairman, can I proceed?
Please, don't thank say you. Things you're not supposed to say today. Please, Honorable Makai.
Chair, I'll do my best, but I am protected and under freedom of speech
in
the House.
I can see, so you don't promise, so go ahead.
I will try, Chair, I will try. Chair, I must say, I never thought I'd utter these words, but I really do miss Tina Jomat-Peterson as our minister. She definitely had a thicker skin when it came to dealing with very difficult issues. Chair, I'd like to start on the issue that the minister raised around... this audit report apparently being leaked, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen media articles in which the minister has claimed she's investigating irregularities in the department, if I read the quote correctly, but, you know, with so much fake news, Chair, we can't necessarily allow on our journalists. But what I'm trying to say is that the minister has said that she is investigating, that there has been potentially irregular expenditure. So that brings us to a question around... the Auditor General's report, which she says has not been finalized. Now, the question is, why has it not been finalized? So the Auditor General's opinion was until the 31st of March. We're now in August. And as far as I'm aware, the draft reports have circulated to the Audit Committee of the Department at least 5 times. So who is responsible for the holdup, and why is the Department, and specifically the Director General as the Accounting Officer, not signing off on this report? Chairman, I must say... hearing that there's a continuous delay in the Auditor General's opinion does set off red flags, because we must recall that this issue of the transaction advisory services as well as the nuclear procurement management system has been long irritating this committee, and the minister has indicated that it seems we are all very confused. And in fact, we are confused, Chair, because you know, we will recall that the procurement specialist, Mr. Ndaba Ngwenya, his other job was as an actor or an entertainer. So, you know, he was a very, you know, very talented man to be able to focus on procurement of nuclear management systems as well as acting, and was responsible for adjusting the internal specifications of the nuclear management system in such a way that it strategically aligned with the Free State tender. But still, Chair, we know that it is irregular because I'll ask the Minister to confirm this. How much was paid for the management system? Previously, the committee has indicated, or we have been told, that it's in the, above 100 million, but we know for a fact in the public domain that the Treasury, the Free State Treasury contract, which was used as the basis for the procurement, was for 60 million. And we know in terms of the PMFA regulation that if one department is using another department's contractual basis to procure for themselves, it has to be for the same amount. So Free State was a contract for 60 million. Department of Energy, potentially a contract of 170 million. We're waiting for confirmation of the figure, and I hope the Minister can give us exactly the figure today on how much has been spent, because we're now at the end of the financial year. She should have that figure readily available at her hand. So we'll be very pleased to hear, and maybe the Minister can help clarify some of these issues about this confusion. Maybe she can clear up for us why exactly the audit opinion is delayed, exactly how much the nuclear management system cost. And, for example, why is there this misalignment between the two contracts? And does that mean, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a policy expert, but from what I understand, if the amounts don't line up, then the contract is irregular. So the Minister said there's no irregular expenditure. I'm confused, because now I'm even more confused. I know the Minister has tried to dispel my confusion, but I'm even more confused. Chair, I'm also confused that we have so many suspensions by the Minister. You know, they say new brooms sweep clean, but this minister, by the end of this year, there's not going to be anyone left in this department. And there's never an explanation. So we know that the previous CFO of this department was highly lauded. She was nominated multiple times for her work in the department as one of the best financial or CFOs in the public sector. And yet, come May, we don't even inform by the minister who was visited us at that time that she was suspending the CFO. Never any communication potentially on the grounds. We also recall that this minister, the previous minister working with the CFO, delivered multiple clean audits for the department. So, Chairman, again, I am confused why we seem to be suspending someone in the department who has been, to our mind, very committed, has helped the department achieve clean audits, and yet now she is no longer with us, and we do welcome the acting CFO and we wish her the best, but we do want some answers around the situation. For example, where are we in the disciplinary process? Surely, if she was suspended in May, my maths is not great, but 60 days have passed. So where is that DC? Why is there a delay in the DC? When does the DC that is expanded over so much time start becoming unfair to the person who has been suspended? The Minister has indicated that this is not saying the CFO is guilty, but Chairman, we must ask, if she's been suspended, there must be a reason for suspension. She was obviously not suspended for something trivial, we hope. Chairman, I'd also like to just review my notes, because there was a lot presented today. Can the department please put on record for us today whether they are actually disputing the findings of the AG, and that is why this is being delayed, why the AG's opinion is being delayed? If not, we're happy to hear it, but can they please confirm for us if that is in fact the case? I reiterate, Chair, can we please have the total values from the Minister paid to the transaction advisors? The total amount, we've read in the media it's up to 80-100 million. This sounds like a lot of money for a consultancy service. We'd definitely like to confirm those amounts. And again, can the Minister indicate to us why exactly she believes there wasn't irregularity or unauthorized expenditure in this regard, because that has been flagged, Chair, by various media outlets in over an 18-month period. So we must begin to ask questions, and we hope that the Minister can give us some clarity. Chair, again, with the IEP, IRP, the Minister tells us it's on track, but last I recall, the IRP was supposed to be delivered in August. We're in August. So I'm very confused as to, and that just before they tell us it was because the public participation process was extended, they closed the public participation process. Mr. Opani sat here before he got the boot, and he told us quite clearly that the finalization of the IRP would be made in August. It would go to Cabinet. It would come before this committee. Now we're hearing it's February, March next year. And, Chair, again, I'm confused, because the Minister has confused me again by saying two things. First of all, she said last week that the nuclear procurement program is on route. It's fully going ahead. Everything's being put in place. But then the last time we discussed the renewables program, she said we had to hold on signing these agreements because we have to finalize and update the IRP. So I'm a bit confused why one section of the energy mix can be postponed while we wait for the update of the IRP, but the nuclear program doesn't seem to be waiting for anything, least of all the updating of the IRP and IEP, which, Chair, I remind the committee that this is the fundamental groundbreaking document, which is the policy document of government that determines our energy mix. So before the minister finds herself in court again on a cause of irrationality, you know, we need to be clear, how is the nuclear program moving ahead if the IRP hasn't been finalized? Because IRP is going to tell us how much nuclear we want in our energy mix, but we're still already moving ahead when we don't know how the amount. It's very confusing, Chair. Maybe the minister can clarify for us. It would be very good. Chair, we welcome the news that the minister is going to have a decision on 3.5 and 4 of the bid windows for the PPAs. We know that this is a very important sector in our economy. It has been a shining light of what South Africa can achieve, and we welcome that decision, and we hope that the minister's decision is going to be the affirmative that those outstanding 37 PPAs will be signed at long last. And so we are very grateful about that. Chairman, if we can... Chair, I'm also a bit confused. I got a weird article the other day telling me that the Strategic Fuel Fund, you know, the Strategic Fuel Fund, the ugly cousin in the SOEs that we are dealing with at the moment, this is a company that doesn't have a chairman, that doesn't have a board, that doesn't have a CEO. They're all acting, or currently Mr. Thabani Zulu has been sent off for his sins to go and fix SSF. Lord help us all. But I see, Chair, that they've recently been awarded a contract for exploration off the coast of Equatorial Guinea. Now, last time I checked, Strategic Fuel Fund is not into oil exploration. I mean, this is a company that clearly cannot manage itself effectively. They've sold off our strategic fuel stocks illegally, and now they're involved in a multi-million rand deal off the coast of Equatorial Guinea. So I'm very sad the Deputy Minister is not chairman. The Deputy Minister has worked extensively in West Africa. She might have been able to assist us in clarifying how the Strategic Fuel Fund, one of the entities that reports or falls under her or previously fell under her, is now purchasing in partnership exploration oils are all rights with Equatorial Guinea. It's again very confusing considering that SSF should not be allowed to go anywhere by themselves at all, ever. Chair, if I can just go to the document at hand, we see a lot of talk about different types of IT systems. And now we know the department's already in trouble for this one big IT system, but throughout the document we've discussed enhancement of the Central Energy Information Management System. Now, I don't know what the Auditor General's report says, but I'm understanding that what I've heard and what I've read in the media is that there's an opinion that the department cannot procure IT systems without going through National Treasury and going through various other forms of legislation. Apparently, there's a body established in government who is responsible for, you know, dealing with IT procurement. Now, I just want to clarify, please, Chair, all these management systems, and which I see here, I think there were two mentioned at least. Could the department please clarify for me what is the procurement process followed, just so we're all clear, and also potentially talk to us about the potential costs. Chair, I'm very glad to hear that the department has taken time to work out the electricity pricing path. Again, without the IRP being finalized, it's very interesting that the department can finalize electricity pricing path because we don't know what the sources of energy we're going to be using to determine our energy mix and therefore how we determine the pricing. It's very confusing that this document has already apparently been to cabinets when the IRP hasn't been finalized. Chair, surely the two, you know, it's like we've got the horse before the cart or the cart before the horse, however that expression goes, but how are we predicting what the price of electricity will be when we don't even know how we're going to generate the electricity? Again, very confusing, and I'm hoping the minister can shine some light on that for us. Chairman, this solar water heater program, you know, we've been sitting with this thing since 2014, and now the main architect, Mr. Ompiopani, has been sent out to the wild bushes for his sins, and we may never understand why this program, which has accrued 1.5 billion rand over the last three financial years, and don't forget, we already gave, when Eskom was still managing this program, we gave them 1.5 billion rand to install 1 million water geysers. They installed 400,000, of which 80,000 were actually the correct model. So we haven't had much success with this program. Now we hear that Mr. Opani has been suspended because of apparently irregularities in the allocation of a contract for storage of these solar water heaters. Now, why are we storing them at all. Surely we should be producing them just in time so that we don't incur the wasteful expenditure around storage. I mean, unless Mr. Pani has a cousin in storage, I can't imagine why we'd want to be storing these things. And we've heard today from the acting CFO that this has to do primarily with, the program has got hiccups in the municipalities. But, Chair, when Mr. Opani presented to us his rollout process for this thing, we all looked at it and said, "Hi, Bo, Mr. Opani, this thing is not going to work. There's so many levels of complexity in this thing. There's so many opportunities for kickbacks all along the value chain here. This thing is never going to work." Now, Chair, this is a vital program. $1.5 billion has been allocated over 3 years. Where is this money going? When is this project ever going to get off the ground? This actually matters to our people on the ground, Chair. They need this service. You know, the other stuff we can be glib about, with the millions that are missing, but this is actually a program that needs to function, needs to work, and we need explanation. I do not want to see, again, a partially achieved, not achieved against us. It's been not achieved for 3 years, Chair. I can't understand. It's not a very complex thing. A solar water heater, solid-state instruments, it's not a very complex thing. We should be able to roll this out fairly interestingly. The City of Cape Town tells me that I've asked them to provide us with information as to exactly how the program has been rolled out in the City of Cape Town, to provide us with information potentially where the Department of Energy is failing the citizens of our country. And specifically, Chair, please, $1.5 billion. That's a lot of money. Can someone explain to me where exactly that's gone? Because with all these delays, it must be sitting in a bank account. I don't understand how it works in the financials or the allocation. Again, I'm not a finance guy, so maybe the CFO can explain it. Chair, and then finally, we know for a fact that money had to be reallocated. The last time the real CFO was here with us, she was explaining to us very complex situations of money being moved around different categories across different programs, across different things. And we were all very confused because it was the first time the department has ever made so many transfers internally in its own financials. And we now understand that that was to pay for this nuclear management program because the $200 million that was allocated wasn't enough, because now the total costs are well over 200 million rand. So, Chair, I don't see in the financials that are presented here how that money's been accounted for, allocated. Because now, I mean, to my mind, the financials are pretty straightforward. Everything's accounted for. But, Chair, I remind the committee that we have an audit general report opinion that is outstanding, that apparently might be delayed by the department for some reason. And then we also have money that is unaccounted for systems that we never needed in the first place. So there's a lot of confusion around this. So, Chairman, if the minister could be so kind as to please put some things on the record for us in committee today so that we might hold her accountable for what her comments are in that regard. Chairman, if I can also finally just double-check, it's a question directed to you. Could you please clarify whether the department has previously met with the ANC study group prior to the portfolio committee? Now, the reason I'm interested in this question, Chair, is because generally the rule in Parliament is that anything where the departments are involved from externally should be open to all members of Parliament. So if the department is meeting only with ANC MPs, why are they doing that? Is the department coaching the ANC MPs or the ANC MPs coaching the department on what they need to say? So this thing which we have today becomes very orchestrated because you guys have spent 5 hours together last night discussing what to probe, what not to probe, what the minister is going to share with us, which is deeply problematic, and I think it probably borders on unconstitutional, and if not, at least anti-democratic. So, Chair, could you please clarify that that is in fact the case? Can you put it on record that that is the case, so that I can also write to the Speaker to suggest that this probably undermines our oversight function as a committee, and it's not desirable for the well-functioning of our democracy? So, Chair, if you could please do that, I'd be very, 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 very grateful. And then, Chairman, I wanted to ask you, we had a meeting, I can't remember, there was a final quarterly report, I think it was the third. I remember my good friend Ms. Mohammed Salah was still here before she was promoted to bigger and better things. And the CFO raised this issue around non-payment to the transaction advisor. Now, if I recall, Chair, and I have asked for copies of the minutes from various organizations to keep minutes, I do recall that you yourself, as well as Ms. Mahambishlala, insisted that the department must make the payment. It was overdue from the 30 days. Chairman, we know that the minister, TJP, had insisted that all payments to the transaction advisor be halted after the first phase of work. So I just want to clarify, what was the specific interest in making sure that they were paid, considering that the previous minister had instituted a stop on all payments until there was verification of the outstanding documentation or proof of delivery of their consultancy. I need to clarify, but I just wanted to know if you could recollect yourself having ever mentioned that in committee and insisting that the department make sure that the transaction advisor be paid. And obviously, Chair, as a committee, we are very concerned that the department pay all of its suppliers within 30 days. That's what they've committed to. But now that these guys are red flagging, we must just remember if we as a committee in any way supported the paying a company that possibly shouldn't have been paid. And, Chair, so I was hoping if you might be able to assist us with your recollections on that. Thank you.
Honourable Makai, you accuse me of having been bored during the recess. But there's lots of entertainment coming from that side. I don't think I can match you. Honourable Faku, I'll deal with the questions that you posed to me.
Thank you, Chair. It's good to see everybody back, Honorable Chairperson. We wish Honorable Mbuyane a speedy recovery on his fractured leg. Chair, I think the department, I just want to know how many inspectors in provinces, because the traveling expenditure is too much. Can't we capacitate provinces instead so that we can cut cost on traveling. Chair, the electrification program is unacceptable. Poor performance on electrification programs is unacceptable. Can we get more reasons? How is the department addressing these challenges? The poor performance on electrification program, on clean energy program, including the solar water program, which I agree with Honorable Makaya, our people really need this program. Can we get an explanation? How are we going to address the challenge on this? It's clean energy program, it's electrification program, it's a nuclear program under spending. How are we going to address the challenges? Thank you, Chair, so far.
Thanks, Honourable Faku.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is around the staff component. The minister has mentioned in her address that she has written to all boards to make sure that they fill the vacancies. But I think the report is also lacking on the number of people who have left the department, because I think we need to know how many of those people have left and what is the department going to do to make sure that the vacancies they fill. But the minister also said that there are those positions that you will fill, and there are those positions that you are not going to fill. And now my question is it not going to affect maybe the underperformance that we have seen in the report of the department, that is the performance now of the department, if you are going to cut some of the positions and yet the department is not performing? And then in terms of the imbezos, the Honourable Member has mentioned the issue about the imbezos, and the question that I want to add is, how much money has been put aside for those imbezos, and where are those imbezos? And I think it will be better if you can just mention the areas. Maybe you just say Limpopo, like you said, you never seen it in Limpopo, because I think you need to know. And then in terms of the clean energy, just to agree with Honorable Faku, I just want to find out, with these three municipalities that you have identified, are you sure that these municipalities have got capacity, or how is the department capacitating those municipalities to make sure that they roll out the program that is expected of them? I think you mentioned three municipalities, because I see an underspend of 30 million on those municipalities. And then in terms of, and I also saw on the report that the issue of the staff component is also a challenge in the department. And I think you have to be clear as the portfolio as to what the department is going to do to make sure that the issue of the vacancy is no longer a challenge. And I want to align this question with the 50% of women in senior management position, where the department is only on 36%. Perhaps if we can have that 10-around strategy, no, high turnover on vacancies, maybe this will answer my question. And also the last one is the payment to suppliers. Remember we said that we have 30 days that we have to pay our suppliers. And now one of the reasons why the department is not performing, because you need to go and do the verification. And now it comes back to the question as of planning. How is the department planning if you are going to hold the money for the suppliers because you want to go and verify? So I just want to understand the planning of the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I must apologize about arriving late. You know, we are tight marking ANC everywhere in this parliament, so we have to start on other departments. You know that they want to take public money now and give it to politicians. Nevertheless, it's very difficult to comment on anything with this department, especially when the AG report is not even out, because this is the same department that can come and just lie in front of the portfolio committee about this tragic stock and everything. And then tomorrow it's a different story. So it makes our work very difficult. So I don't know if we can minister expedite that release of that report so that at least we can link, because there are chances that even what we've been told, once you get the AG report, it's a different story. So they've just wasted time here asking questions to find out that we're just told things that are not even correct, if we can be told on those bigger issues. I'm concerned on that issue of the planning as well. I think if you're going to say I'm not going to pay people on the basis that I've not verified, that means you never had a plan in the first place. You engage again. It's a trend. It's a sign that there's engaging on illegal contracts. Because what if already the whatever that has been done there? Because if the verification, it should be in stages. Every work that you do, you must be able to verify in quantum of how you're doing that work. That's how projects work. There's the assessment that gets done. If you're just going to say, no, I've not paid because I still have to go and verify, I don't know whether even those go. That's why I'm saying it's very difficult even to comment on anything without getting that AG report to see if the information that we've been given here, it's critical. We've been told serious lies by this department, where they can just say, no, things were sold, no, things were rotated. And they, again and again and again, instead on one thing. Minister, I said to you, you must not allow all people to drag you because of bodyguards and these VIP things and mess up your name. When you came here, I asked you about the issue of Block 9. You said, Honorable, I mean, 2 weeks, I'll respond. I think it's 3 months now. You have not responded. It's 3 months. So if you responded, maybe you send it to that person that you're saying you will respond to and is no longer with the department. So, but let's get those issues. So our main contribution will do it when we get that AG report. This one, we don't trust. You have misled us for a very long time. So we'll deal with those issues there. Thanks, Chairperson.
All right, let me restrain myself because Honorable Makai would say there's too much coming from this side of the table. But you're making a very useful suggestion there. So I'll restrain myself because it's a very useful suggestion you're making, actually. Let's sure we're going to start with you. So let's get the responses. Our members, you covered most. So let's get the minister. Can we have responses? So, Honourable Makai, I can see you're very excited about 3.5 and, I mean, the bid windows, 3.5 and 4. The minister just said she'll announce a decision. She didn't say what. So I was also excited until she said, I'll announce. So don't rush. We don't know what the decision is. Minister, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start with Honorable Lamine. Honorable Lamini, yes, the AG report is not yet finalized. Remember, we will be coming to the Parliament once we table our annual performance report. That is during the process of BRRR. So that's when we table our report for the whole financial year together with the AG report. So once we do that, we'll definitely come back. I think it's compulsory for us to come back. So we'll go into detail in terms of where the issues are. But this is performance. I mean, we are honest. I mean, if we were lying, we would not hide that we are not performing. It's not a good scorecard if we are to say. I think that's the issue. Can we sort out this letter? Because I have not received it. I gave you the details where you must send it. Honestly. For example, if there's a letter I receive and I'm not going to be able to meet the deadline that the person has written, like McKay, I phoned him and told him, what you are requesting will take me a long time to respond. Please give me some time. So I did that. I gave the details. If you have a copy or your secretary has it, can I have it today before I leave so that we can respond to it properly? I'm just... Honestly, I've received letters from members. I've responded to them. I did give details on that meeting, Honorable Lamine.
No, Chairperson, I think the... So that this letter is done, it's finished. There was no speaking about the letter.
This is not tight marking. This is disruption.
Which one?
What are you doing now?
No, but I'm clear. That's why I said through you, Chair, because I want to clarify the issue of the minister.
You can't speak like that.
Okay, can I get the...
You remember that it's going to be follow-up. So you can note that. You can follow up on what the minister says, because if all of you are going to want to respond as she speaks, we won't finish. Please, can you just note that? We'll ask a follow-up question.
I don't want to respond. It's a very quick issue that I did not... On that meeting, I did not say I'm going to send you a letter. I said I'll send letters.
So,
and then, wait, Chairperson. Let me wait now. But, Chairperson, the other Chairperson was there. She can wait as well. So, the issue was that I said to the minister, I wrote to previous ministers, and then she said, just 1 second, Chair, let me finish. And then she said, no, I did not receive. Then I said, instead of writing your letter, I'm asking you directly. And then she was supposed to come and respond in 2 weeks. So if there was a confusion, I can write the letter. That's all I wanted to clarify. Thank you, Chairperson, for allowing me the permission
Minister,
to speak.
Don't respond. Don't respond to Honorable Lamine.
Okay, I won't.
And the department shouldn't respond to those questions of Honorable Lamine until he behaves. You mustn't do this in the committee.
Chairperson,
you will not be entertained in this committee, Honorable Lamine, if this is what you're going to do.
But what am I doing because I'm addressing the issue?
You will ignore them.
No, there's no way you're going to... No, Chairperson, that will never happen.
I can assure you.
I'm assuring you back as well.
Okay.
There's no way I'm going to write letters and they cannot be responded. So don't mislead the department.
Don't respond to that.
She might not respond, but she heard what I wanted to say. But don't mislead the department. That one, it's not your decision. They will respond to everything that we're asking for.
Okay, the minister is not going to respond to you to the things you're saying there, Honorable. I mean, I'm assuring you.
Okay, Chair, Honorable Ngada, staff compliments in terms of how many, I think, for the, remember, colleagues, we're reporting for a quarter, a particular quarter, January to March. That's why when I started, I said this is the period that we are reporting for. So DG, you'll help us if you have those figures. But as far as I know, I think they will help. We've not had quite a number of resignations. We're not having resignations currently since I've been in the department. I think there's some insinuation that people are being shoved out. They are not. I think the ESCO can tell you part of what I've done coming in is to lay the ground to say we are here to work. I even said to them, I'm not interested even if they don't greet me in the passage or smile at me. I need work. Where there's no performance, definitely I will act. That I'm not compromising on, because everybody who's in the department has a duty to do work, and because I have to take responsibility and accountability, I must be able to say, if something has not happened, what have I done? And that's what I'm doing. So in terms of the impact on the filling of vacancies, what we are doing, we are looking at saying where are the critical areas in terms of our mandate. Where I can say part of what we have picked up is that we have quite a number of staff in the support area, and we need quite a number in the technical area. So we're looking at that. Can we reskill certain people, move them so that we close those gaps? For example, around the issue of project management, where we need people who can go on the ground, verify projects in provinces, so that we are able not to delay. So that's part of the work that we'll have to. Obviously, it's an intense process, but we'd have to engage individuals in the department. But where we think that vacancies are vacant and are not critical, we don't have to fill them now. We can do with what we have. We'll definitely abolish them because we don't have money for them, and therefore allow our structure so that our vacancy rate doesn't look very high. Because even if we want to fill them, we can advertise, but we won't be able to fill them because we don't have money to pay those salaries. So that's what we mean about the issues around that. I think they will deal with the issue of how many imbizos that and the areas of imbizos, the colleagues who have been here. We can account later for the other new financial year of the imbizos that have been involved. In terms of the Kisola Water Geyser, we must accept, members, that we must accept that this program is not moving, that we take responsibility for. It hasn't performed what it's supposed to do. And as well, even on the municipalities, we've intervened. There was a delay in terms of the municipality. So this is as per March. We have intervened with the various municipalities. One of the cities, unfortunately, to a city of Cape Town that was not signing, Honorable McKay, was not signing the agreement because they need to sign with us as implementing for us and working together, identify an area where we need to so that we can do technical work. Part of the technical work is to check the water quality, Chair. Certain municipalities would have identified to say we are going there only to find the water quality is not suitable and therefore we have to move after the preliminary investigations. So that's what has been coming. And I'll come to the issues relating to the storage and all that. I'll talk to it later in terms of the cost. Staff component to the department and 50%, this is one of the issues I've taken up and I've said it's not even about only at SMS level. You've got to see the 50% representation even at ESCO level because there's no justification. There are females, and this is the message I've carried even to the sector. We're hoping that some response is coming because, I mean, for example, Chair, when you look at the oil companies, that's one of the things I've raised. None of the CEOs is a female. There's one oil company that has responded that they are appointing a female, first black female in that oil company from the 1st of September after our engagements. So we're hoping that more and more we'll see issues of transformation in the sector taken serious by everyone. So we start with even representation of women. Honorable Faku, we do take responsibility in terms of electrification. I think that's what I'm saying. This is not a good scorecard for us. In critical areas where we should be doing well, we are not. But we are hoping with, for example, in terms of INEP electrification, one of the posts that we were looking at yesterday doing interviews and we have made a recommendation is around this area where we would have a DDG that is fully appointed that will look at the implementation. We think think once we appoint, then the stability will happen and the work will happen with the vision. We can be able to see that happening, because the three vacancies that we've done yesterday is DDG Corporate Services, is DDG Programs and Projects, is DDG Compliance and Governance. And these are the critical DDGs for us to be able to implement, and the others, we do have them already filled. So once we can sort out at EXCO level, we will be able to start seeing the results coming through. Coming to the issues raised by Honorable McKay, in terms of the process, AG's report is completed in July, end of July. Indeed, there are issues that we have raised. AG has, after done that, they have requested more information from us as the department, and that process has done. That's what I've been briefed, because as a minister, I don't get involved until the process has been completed, and then I receive my briefing. As I'm sitting here, I have not had a meeting with the AG, because I can only have my meeting with the AG team after they've completed the audit of the department, and then they can report to me this is what the finding is, and therefore I can only commit to say this is what is. And the reason I said that I am not aware of any irregular expenditure, because it's only the AG, in terms of the law, who can say this is an irregular. Until I have the AG saying to me in front of me sitting, this is the outcome of your audit, Minister, for 2016-2017 financial year, then I can confidently say this is what we are finding, and therefore how are we dealing with it? Because part of the responsibility I have as minister, once I receive that, is to be able to look at the report if there are issues that I need to take on. I need to do that. So until I have that meeting, I will be able to deal with that. So far, I haven't had the meeting. We are waiting. We scheduled a meeting. They requested a postponement because they need to finalize. And when I asked from the department accounting officer, is that they had requested more information from us as the department to clarify certain things, which we have provided that information. We're hoping that they will be able to conclude. We're hoping that we would receive our final report yesterday. But by the time I arrived here, we had not received it as the department. How much has been procured for the system? For the PMS system, we have paid as the department 98 million. For the transactional advisors, as the department, we have paid 87 million. Those are the figures. How much has been, okay, that misalignment, I don't think we have misalignment, Honorable McKay. Remember, the financial year ended in March. The audit starts after. That's why I was saying to you, it ends in July. So there isn't. And then the issue of IRP and IEP being finalized and the confusion. We tabled an annual performance plan, which the budget process and the budget vote debate and approval happened in May. In that document, Honorable McKay, it says that the IEP and IRP will be finalized by March 2018. And I note that because there's been delay in the previous one, that there was commitment to finish there, but in terms of the submitted documents to Parliament, this is the commitment that we have made in terms of our approved annual performance plan of the Department of Energy. The commitment in that is that IRP, IEP will be concluded by March 2018. We have said since that, myself as the minister, to say, understanding the challenges and the requirements for stability, we are pushing for earlier than March 2018. But in terms of the documents that are committing us, it's final. Remember is that once we finished receiving the submissions were received until March, end of March 2017, the department had to go through, look at the issues, because we do not do participation for the sake of participation. We have to take into consideration what has been raised by those documents. Now, based on what has been submitted, it warranted us to go and rework our IEP and IRP. If there were no substantive issues raised by the submissions, we would have probably maybe saying that we're done. But because of the substantive issues that have been raised, we had to look, and because we're working again with CSIR to verify the baseline, I think the colleagues can clarify, those who are technical knowing these things, will tell you that it's only, I think they were saying to me, 4 computers in the country who can do the forecast properly. So once we are done with that, honorable members will come to the parliament and report. You see, honorable Mackenzie, I naturally don't read Makai. I don't read fictions as a person, and I don't subscribe to them. So yes, I don't. I am one of those who deal with real life, even on the books that I buy. Now, there's a lot of issues that you are saying, this is what, I don't know where you get them. I have not said them to you, nor to this parliament. I'm not so sure where you, that's what I'm saying, I'm not so sure, because that's why, and those are things that says I don't prescribe. I mean, the issue of saying nuclear program on track, where is it on track? And what is being on track? No, but what is being on track? Exactly. Where? To you. Exactly. I don't know where they get them. I'm saying to you, that's why I don't subscribe to fiction. Because if you want to ask and say, Minister, where is the program on nuclear build program? I'll give a response. But don't bring what I don't know somewhere. Because if you need clarity to say, where is the nuclear new build program, and then let me give it to you. In terms of the process from the court, we took a decision to say we are going to review the process. Now, where are we with the process? We are reviewing the process. Once we are ready, we have been to cabinet, and this is what I've said. We have been to cabinet with our proposal of way forward. We will communicate to the public. That's the process of nuclear new build program. Now, you don't need a third party. I am saying, as Minister of Energy, this is where we are. We can only, after we have dealt with all the issues that have been raised, go back to cabinet and get an approval from cabinet on the way forward of that matter. You are saying there's no chairperson of SFF. I'm not so sure where you get that, Honorable McKay. There is an appointed chairperson of SFF. There is a board of SFF. What we don't have, now that's why I'm saying, Honorable, we must correct you. There is no CEO, and hence Thabani Zulu is acting there. But we are in the process of filling vacancies of those. So we do have a board. I'm not so sure where you get the fact that people are acting in the board. We can't have actors in the board. The pricing process that went to cabinet went last year as a process that the department had to deal with in terms of electricity in the country. So that is there. Whether it should have waited until we finish the IRP and IEP, I don't think so, Chair, because we can't say the department must come to a standstill, because if we are to take that stance, it means we must stop everything and wait for IEP and IRP to be finalized before we can do anything. We have a department that has tasks. If we have a performance target that Parliament has approved for us to perform and deliver upon, we have to do that so that we can report, and hence we are reporting, Chair. I have responded to the issue of solar water geysers in terms of the issue. Honorable McKay, in the issues of storage, that's exactly my point and the issues I raised with the department. We are currently incurring costs of storage, which we shouldn't. And we are dealing with that matter, Chair, because our expectation, one, was that Cabinet pronounced on the solar water geyser program to be a youth-driven program. So we expected young people or youth companies and women companies to be the ones who are, we are procuring from in terms of this solar water geysers. Secondly, we expected youth to be the one who are installing the solar water geysers. We've dedicated the DM to work on this program to bring it on track, Chair. She's working around the clock to assist us to bring it on track. I can say she's also been meeting with certain deputy ministers, for example, in COGTA to assist us in municipalities, together with Deputy Minister in Public Works, Deputy Minister Nell and Deputy Minister Cronin, to assist from their areas so that we can get this program on track. This is what, as well, when we go to cabinet, we get lashed on, I must be honest, because it's one of the underperforming programs that we have as the department. Now, Chair, there's a insinuation by Honorable McKay that we are on a mission to purge people. I want to assure this portfolio committee that I have no intention to purge people. We are here to do work, and everybody is expected to do work. I can't say when there are matters being raised and say because a person has received awards as a CFO, therefore that person must not be asked to respond. Because tomorrow, Chair, I'll come here again, you'll ask me, what did I do? Or what did the acting, what did the accounting officer do? Now, the accounting officer has seen it fit that there are things that must be responded to and requested the particular individual to respond. We do not say because you have received awards, you have given us clean audit, therefore you are immune from the laws of this country. So I want to assure this committee on particular two people, specifically on Mr. Apani and Ms. Chetty. These are the two DDGs, or one DDG and one CFO that has been charged in the department and the process. As I said, with Mr. Apani, he was given a letter to explain why he should not be charged. He was given 3 days as per the Public Service Act. He chose not to even respond to that letter, Chair. And that was brought to my attention as the executive authority, and the accounting officer said, I have no choice but to proceed with this matter because I do not have an explanation on this matter. In terms of the time frame, we are still within the time frames prescribed by the Public Service Act. No one is prejudiced. I'm not so sure when Honorable McKay gets his dates, but in terms of the Public Service Act, the DC for Ms. Chetty is on track within the law. We are not outside the law. We will never drag processes for the sake of it. We are not in a mission to purge people. We are in a mission to ensure that the department, together with its staff, we comply with the laws, but as well we perform our duties as asked, Chair. So those are the things I thought I should respond to. I will allow, I think there's something that DD Jimbele must speak to on the issues around the payments that are delayed in terms of suppliers' verification to members raised it. I think DDG will have to respond to that. Okay, the issue around, okay, there's consultation. I think somebody will have to respond to that in terms of consultation from the team. Chair, the issue of, Honorable Matlala raised the issues of vacancies. Vacancies that are there, Honorable Matlala, some of them is because the department did a structure. They reworked the structure and had posts that were to be filled. For example, there was going to, in the DGG level, just an EXCO level, there was now a DDG position created for clean energy, for example, and there was no money to fill that. So we'll have to see currently at that level. It's falling under another branch, so we are not compromising service. We're making sure that we do more with less money that we have, prioritize in terms of the commitments that we have done, but ensuring that we can still be able to execute our mandate. So that's the issue. And I think... DDG Corporate Service, acting DDG Corporate Service, will speak to the issues around if there are people who are leaving during this particular time. I wouldn't be able to speak to that, Chair. I've not interrogated that in detail. But from where we are sitting, Chair, we think we have stable department that people want to remain committed to work for. I can speak for the EXCO. I can speak to we had our strat plan with the senior managers from directors upwards, where we said, and there is commitment from the team to work together to build a better and a center of excellence as the Department of Energy. That is a commitment of the department and its employees. I can say even yesterday when we did interviews, Chair, it was interesting when we did the positions for DDGs, it was interesting to see people who were part of the department previously having interest to come back to the department. And that is a sign of seeing people seeing a department that is very clear on where it's going, but as well we are attracting. I mean, I can safely say on one position of DDG, we attracted people who submitted their CV, we were about 96 on one position. So that tells you, Chair, that we are not a department that people are not interested in. We are a department that people are looking and feeling that they can be part of this department. And we hope that with what we are doing, we'll build a better department and improve on our performance, Chair, so that when we come next time, when we talk, we can be able to say things have improved. And we have an EXCO that is committed to that.
Thanks, Chair. The question that I was asked to respond to is in relation to the delays in the payments associated with the verification. I think as the Minister indicated, we do accept that it's a shortcoming in terms of our program. And what we're doing is that in the current financial year, Treasury has made an allocation. I think it's also an issue of resources. They've made an allocation in terms of program management for us to be able to go and sort resources outside of the department to be able to do verification as proposed. Yes, ideally what we want to do is to be part of the process rather than come at the end. Currently, because we've been doing the process using internal resources that are actually committed in doing other things, you know, there was that problem that we only come in at the end, and that results obviously in delays in terms of these invoices. So it's a shortcoming that we're trying to fix. Thank you. And there was an issue around consultation. Again, I think this was raised before by Honorable Matlal. What we try and do is, in terms of our consultations, we, because of the process, specifically if you take, let's take the IRP, is that we had a short period of time to go around the entire country, you know, 9 provinces. So normally we target the center, but we do acknowledge that there needs to be a way of getting to those in the outskirts. We've in the past also looked at possibilities of using, for example, if you look at where most of our MBISOs go, actually, I mean, there was a question, most of them actually happen in rural areas. So the idea is to try and start incorporate some of the information in there. And it's in the form of flyers, you know, like the energy flyers that can start sharing some of the information with the communities. But again, I have to say here that it's an area of improvement that we can work on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to deal with the question relating to the numbers, for the period under review, officials who left the department, in total we had 24 officials who left the department as a result of contract expiry, and others was as a result of natural attrition. However, overall as a department, as at 31st March, we had round about 85 vacancies. Thank you, Chair.
So there are no follow-up questions. As you raise follow-up questions, just remember the good idea by Honorable Lamone, who doesn't want to listen to me, about having to wait. I can see the wisdom in the having to wait for the Auditor General's report so that we can comprehensively go through the area. Some of them would not be covered because of the period it is dealing with, but it can be able to extrapolate based on that report. A whole range of the other things that are outstanding here, they would be dealt with there. I think so we can deal with those sufficiently instead of now trying to deal with the other things that were not necessarily part of the performance report. But anyway, we can have the follow-up questions. I was just making a suggestion because I do want us to come back to more comprehensively deal with the issues that have been raised. And Honorable Makai, when you're done, I'll answer the two or so questions that, or actually two, that were directed to me.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to address a few issues the Minister raised and questions that she didn't actually answer. First of all, Chair, I would recommend to the Minister that she does read fiction as well as reality because it gives you a clear contrast of which is which. When you're only reading one, you might not know the difference between the two. I quote from the Sunday Times, Chair, which as far as I'm aware is a real paper and real information. And it says here on an article that was published last week, Kubai's office has confirmed that it is probing the possible violation of National Treasury regulations when the department awarded an $18 million contract to nuclear transaction advisor Makala Apahlala. Now, if the minister is saying that she did not say that, then she should go to the ombudsman and clarify that and take on the newspaper relevance. But it's in the public domain, and so the minister has a response, should respond to comments that her office makes or that she makes, even if she thinks she doesn't make them. The minister is highly quoted because the media like to talk to an eloquent minister, and the minister is incredibly eloquent, so journalists like to speak to her. So, Chair, be careful not to I think the minister should be advised not to accuse members of making up fictions when the department provides us with so little information that's reliable that we often have to verify information that we do receive with what's in the public domain. So if the minister wants to address issues around, you know, members of parliament being underinformed, as she seems to think we are, I don't think we are, but if she thinks we are, then she should perhaps provide the department, will provide the committee with far more information than she actually does. Chair, she says she can't answer the question that I've asked with regard to the Auditor General's report. So I'm going to ask the acting DG because he's involved in that process and he can answer that question because he's not a politician. So I just want to know from him in quite simple terms, is the Department of Energy currently disputing the findings of the Auditor General? It's a simple question. I just want a yes or a no. Is the department, acting DG, you do not get to hide behind being a politician who hasn't met with the Auditor General because we know you've met with the Auditor General as the acting accounting officer. So, and Mr. Tabani, before he was shuttled off to SSF to keep quiet, he was also dealt with the Auditor General. So you are here in the hot seat, sir. I know you don't like answering questions directly, but we'd be very grateful for an answer because we're all waiting to hear, is the department currently disputing the findings of the AG's opinion? If yes, is that the reason for the delay of the opinion? If no, then can you tell us what is the reason for the delay because it is an uncharacteristic delay? I direct that question to you directly. Chair, Mr. Apani, who's not ever been one of my favorite DDGs by far, however, was heading up the IRP, IEP process as the DDG responsible. Mr. Apani is now, apparently we don't know where, possibly in London with Mr. Gumede from the SSF, living the high life, we don't know. But could the minister please clarify for us which DDG is now currently in control of that process? Can she clarify if there have been resignations from Mr. Apani's department, specifically around those who are working on the planning function in terms of the IRP, IEP? And specifically, Chair, the Minister said to us that in her amended action plan budget speech, what it was approved. Chair, that wasn't the question. The question is, why was it delayed? I didn't ask her. She told me it's been delayed and it was approved, but she didn't answer my question. I said, why was it delayed? What was the need for the delay when the department had previously told us that the IRP would be ready in August? Chair, we've been waiting for this thing. We've gone through multiple iterations. It's gone through cabinet. We need this document to make sound policy decisions. The department is clearly making policy decisions without a IRP and IEP document. So can we please get clarity to what is the delay? Chair, on the IRP, comments that I've received from the public. Now, how will we as the public know what comments were received, how they were dealt with, and will they be publicly available? Because, Chair, I would hate to find that the department has selectively chosen what public comment it wishes to respond to, specifically to rewrite the IRP, which we know had a very specific base case, which clearly said nuclear could be delayed in the base case. Minister has indicated that there's rewriting of the IRP going ahead. I'm sure there is, because it's very hard to justify nuclear when your main policy document says no to nuclear for another 20 years. So, Chair, how will we know what comments were received? How were the comments responded to, and how will we be able to check the veracity of those comments? Because, Chairman, I don't know what process happens in the department. What stops an individual in the department submitting under a name of so-and-so, you know, this is what we think on this issue, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I am concerned about the veracity of this program, Chair, because this IRP document will determine whether nuclear goes ahead or not, and this is what will be contested in court. So the document needs to be 100% reflective of public comment received and show us how that public comment has been interpreted and how that's going to be dealt with. Chairman, also, the Minister earlier said when I was asking about the AG report, she knows nothing about irregular expenditure. But again, I've just indicated to you in the quote that was given from the Times and the Sunday Times that her office is investigating irregular expenditure. Oh, now I'm confused. So the Minister just said quite categorically in a statement to me, I know nothing, I've seen nothing, nothing's come to me, I'm new, I'm waiting until the meeting happens, blah, blah, blah. But then a week ago she told the newspapers, no, I'm investigating. What are you investigating if you don't know where the regular expenditure is? Like, I'm not, one and one is not equaling two in this case. The Minister must clarify. What does she know? Does she know? Is there an irregularity? Is she suspecting there's an irregularity? Because she said on the record in this meeting that she categorically does not know. But last week her office confirmed comment where she said she's investigating irregular expenditure in her department. So maybe this is the specific case of fact versus fiction and the Minister's having trouble understanding which is the difference. Chair, she also did not answer my question specifically about the Strategic Fuel Fund. Thank you, Minister, for informing me about the wonderful positions you have filled there. This is still a defunct organization that has illegally sold our fuel stocks and now apparently is involved in a contract for exploration off the coast of Equatorial Guinea. Now, what does SFF know about petroleum exploration? I mean, what does PetrosA know about petroleum exploration? We know that the huge problems have been from the fact that they know very little, but at least they are the official oil company with supposedly the skill sets to go and do oil exploration. So why is it that SSF is in this transaction when we have multiple red flags about this institution not functioning optimally, that there's a potential of a 900 million rand or dollars or whatever the amount is on that fuel stock that's gone missing, and now they're involved in a side deal in Equatorial Guinea, which, by the way, Chair, is not renowned for being the most clean or democratically run state. It's a pretty dirty run state, and if we're involved in deals there, red flags are going off, we've got them selling off oil, and now the Minister even refuses to answer what is the nature of this contract. How was it signed? It would have been the preparatory work would have happened in the last financial year. We've not heard anything about it, not once from SSF, not once from SEF, not once from the Minister. Chair, I'm getting very, I'm very hot under the collar about that specific issue. The final question is, Chair, I just wanted to clarify, did the Minister say that Mr. Opani was suspended for irregularities in the solar water heater program? I just wasn't clear if that was why he was suspended. She told us he didn't respond, but I just want to understand the terms of his suspension. Does it directly relate to the solar water heater program or the other charges that have been laid? And I don't see why those cannot be shared, Chair, because he has already been suspended, so the horse has already bolted. And then, Chair, yeah, we thank you. We look forward to getting the auditor's report, or the general's report, hopefully, it's a part of the BRRR process, but we know that there's a delay, so look forward to the Director General's response on that one. Thank you.
Still, it's a very useful idea. Honourable Lamin?
No, thanks, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, I listen to you. The only time I don't listen is when you start behaving like a headman. in some rural meeting. He does know it that way. Otherwise, you know me, I listen to you. So, Minister, I'm going to write to you that letter.
But what did I say to and, you? And, we can't speak. We can't say I'm a headmaster.
Yeah. And so, Minister, I'm going to write you that letter because that issue is critical that it must be responded to so that you can put it at rest. And also, the department, you don't listen to the chairperson. I'll ask you questions and you'll respond. We're not here by invitation, so just let's clarify those issues so that we can get the house rules back into order. Thank you, Chairperson.
I suppose they will be responded to next time now that we are behaving. Okay. The only reason I'm liking you today is because of the suggestion you made. It's a wise suggestion. I have an interest myself in some of the things that have been raised today, so, but I've been restraining myself because we can't comprehensively deal with them in a structured way because the minister was giving us an update on a whole range of things. I think we've got to return to them. So, the follow-up questions, I'm sure they will be responded to. Honorable Mackay, so let me, okay. Last night, there was no five-hour meeting that I know of. That would have been very long. There are meetings that happen in the evenings, but 5 hours is a very long time. There isn't a meeting that happened last night. Honorable Mackay, and I think you are now pushing the boundaries too far. You know that the study groups are structures of the ANC caucus. Now, you're going to cause us difficulties now. If you want to get into that realm, then we want us now must discuss what happens in that caucus, what happens who gets invited in that caucus, and I think we get into a difficult terrain. So let's leave matters of the caucus out of this committee, please. Because then other people are going to ask about matters that have got to do with a caucus or subcommittees of the caucus of the Democratic Alliance or other political parties. It's going to create problems. That's an important thing you raised. And I'm listening to you it's very interesting, Honorable Mackay. I'm listening to you. And I think Minister must take heed. I've been listening to you. Very interesting things you say, you have been saying today. Okay. For the record, in this committee, the Deputy Minister of Communications, former member of this committee, Honorable Mohamed Salah, and myself, never insisted that any payment be made. We can go to the records. We never. We didn't have done that. Especially in particular with regard to this particular transaction, you know what our views have been on it as a committee. We wouldn't have done that. Not in the committee. We never did that. I can repeat that. We could have spoken in general terms about creditors being paid and being paid on time, the 30 days deadline, that. But we never picked up on any creditor that must be paid by the Department of Energy. Not me. Not Honorable Mohamed Salah, not in this committee. So on, I think the other matters the minister can respond to, because
I think for purposes of today, we're getting into them on the basis that the minister did give us a general update. But let's return to them. And minister, just to clarify for the record, the reason there's a problem, and Honorable Makaki keeps returning to that, Mr. Apani came here to present the IEP and IRP, and then because there were consultation processes and all that that were going ahead, they explained this thing of the extensions and all that. I asked him a direct question, when will you finish? First question. The second question is, before you go to cabinet, can you come back, having taken into account what the consultations are saying, so that we can make our inputs before take this thing into the cabinet process? And then he told us, August 2017. So that's why it's creating problems, because all along we're proceeding on the basis that, no, everything is on course, so by August we'll have IP back, because it has been one, if you would see, we didn't give you too many recommendations last time, we only gave you four. One of those would be these two pieces of policies. So that's what was said to us. So I think we've heard you, but it's an issue that I think we're going to have to return to, and what are the implications of the delay. So, but having said that, can we answer the questions of Honorable Makai, and before I thank you, Minister, and close the meeting for the day.
Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of the first question around the article that appeared before Sunday Times, indeed the article is incorrect. I have had a meeting with the Sunday Times editor on the 17th of August. I think it was even on my Twitter. I was at Sunday Times offices. I went there myself with my spokesperson to go and request that they deal with the matter. They've assured me that they're dealing with the matter. I did not want to go and lodge a complaint formally. I opted, because I want to build a good relationship with the media, I opted to raise the matter with the editor of my unhappiness in how the article... Actually, there were about three articles that I brought to their attention. One appeared in Business Day, one appeared in Sunday Times, one appeared in Dispatch. They are under one house. So I raised it. They have listened to me. They have requested to deal with the matter and referred back to me. That's why, Honorable McKay, I am on record saying this is in factually correct. So you've asked, what have I done? I have acted. Chair, I want to appeal to Honorable McKay and all members. Please, let's not be spokesperson of employees who are facing disciplinary processes. Allow the department to execute its responsibilities and will come back and report. I am not going to discuss a disciplinary process in a public space, because I would be violating the same act that governs. I would disadvantage the individual, because they would not be here to defend themselves. So we must allow the DC process to happen. The individuals must go and explain themselves there. And once they have done that, they will come back. That must be very clear. I just want to appeal in matters of suspension, Chair. I'm not going to discuss them here. And I'm appealing, because this is what I've said to several, even journalists who have called. Don't be used to fight battles and wrong battles. If individuals believe that they have nothing they have done and they are clean, let them go and explain in the DC. Why is it difficult for them to appear before the DC and clear their name? Because if I know that I'm clean, I have not done anything wrong, I will not have a problem with appearing before the DC, because it's an opportunity that is given and afforded to me to clear their name. And if maybe somebody says, out of the DC I was proven that I'm not guilty, but the department is chasing me, then it's something that I can look at, But at this point in time, I want to appeal to everybody to allow the processes in the department to take its course so that we have an effective and running department. Otherwise, if we leave things, tomorrow we'll not be able to act to anyone because we would have set precedence, Chair. So I'm just making that appeal. The team, in terms of the IEP and IRP, Chair, it's a team that has been working on it. Didi Jimbele here is one is leading it now. He's been involved. He's from planning. So there's not been people leaving. I've met with the team myself that is in planning, that has been working with this work. They are still there. It's not one person. It's not a one-man show in the department. It's a team of people because the intensity of this work involves everyone. When we had the looking at the comments chair, we had a full house of everybody. I sat there myself as well to look at what they are incorporating, what has been received. So it's not a one-person process. That's why I can confidently say the work is continuing and we are dealing with it. So there is no delay because otherwise if we turn a department to a one-man's show, then we'll have a problem. Then we don't have a department. If one person moves and then the whole department collapses, then it means I have a crisis, if that's the impression that honorable members have. It's not a one-man show department. It's a department which has a senior management team that is working around the clock to ensure that we achieve our targets. As per, it's a work of a team. Chair, the delay, I note what you are raising, Chair, and it's very unfortunate that certain commitments have been made. Let me explain in terms of the policy process from a government point of view. I am not able, Chair, to come here after the comments before I go to Cabinet because it's a policy document. So I'm not so sure in which context could have that agreement be made before the committee because otherwise Cabinet will find me at fault. So what is we are expected to do is that once we finalize what we have received, inputs and everything, we need to take it to Cabinet for Cabinet to look at it, comment, and then we pass it to Parliament. So that's the process, Chair, in terms of that. There is nothing we are hiding. Once we are done, we'll bring what we have received, summary in terms of what the issues have been raised, by who, in which, so that there is confidence. And this is what I said to the team. You don't want a document that is issued that can be challenged. You want a level of confidence that when you issue out a document, a policy document, there must be confidence that you've done a thorough work. That's one. Two, that you have been cognizant of the input. Because if we look at previous cases in the Constitutional Court around public participation, it's very clear. You do not do public participation for the sake of public participation, but you incorporate the comments that have been received. And that's what we are trying to do. We are making sure that in everything that we are doing, we are being thorough. We can explain in detail and justify what we have. But we want to produce a credible document that South Africans can look at because policy, Chair, it's not something that you can tiptoe around. Policy because it guides around investor confidence. It builds around people who are, and it's a long-term thing. There are people who are sitting wanting to see in the energy space, can I invest my money into South Africa? We are competing globally, and therefore we've got to be very clear and certain in what we are saying so that those who want to invest their money in the energy sector can do that, but not only in the energy sector because the other industries depend on energy to be able to survive. So we need to assist them to know we have plans for a long term, short term, long term, in terms of which can create stability and predictability for the country. So that's what we are doing, Chair. We will come back when we are ready with the documents. But as I said, we have committed to the timeframes. It's unfortunate that the past pronouncements and what has been said did not take into cognizance that we can't come to the portfolio committee before we go to Cabinet. We'll have to come after we've been to Cabinet, Chair. I think those are the issues that required me to answer. The issue of SFF exploring, Chair, we can provide a report in detail. I have not, in terms of the process, What happens is that the entity will look at what they want to invest in, all entities, do a feasibility and look at that. Once they have finalized, they only come to the minister for minister approval. Where I can say now, I have not given a ministerial approval for the Equatorial Guinea project. If it has been given previously, we'll have to look. But in terms of where I am and my engagements with SEF, I don't think we're at that point. Thank you very much.
So this should be enough for the day. Okay. So I think we can now close. So Honourable Dabeni, because you made a progressive proposal, you agree that you won't call me a headman next time. Thanks very much. So we'll have to look at our own programs so that we can attend to the issue of the AG's report as soon as it's available. So thanks, Minister, for your time and the officials of the department. Honourable members, thanks. Let's go. It's 12:30. In fact, it's after 12:30 now. Members of the public and members of the media, thanks for your presence. I'm told that we will not see you next week. According to our program, we have a meeting next week. But there's a gentleman next to me here who says there's some order from above that says there should be no committees next week. On specifically on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll confirm that. So during the course of this weekend, confirm if our meeting is going ahead next week. Apparently it has to do with the celebrations for the Women's Month. So we will confirm that. So we're not sure. Now I see now comrades who are more advanced than me now are looking at me for using the wrong way. No. I'm saying that it is something to do with the celebrations of the Women's Month. He did tell me that apparently there's a conference for the 2 days next week. So I'm speaking in broad terms to say it's something to do with the celebrations for the Women's Month. So I think it is safe that way, because I didn't want to talk about the conference. I don't know.